If you have your Bibles with you today, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I have a few thoughts I'd like to share from there. Praise the Lord. God, you're so good. Just love you, Jesus. I'm getting there. Okay, I'm there. All right, we're going to turn to chapter 10. If you want to drop down to 19. I'm getting just a touch of a ring. I'm not sure where that is, but anyway. Okay, in verse 19 it says this. This is under some of your Bibles might have a banner that says a call to persevere, okay, in faith, all right? A call to persevere in faith, and that's really what we're focusing on here. Verse 19, I'm reading from the NIV. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, amen, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And drop down to verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Verse 33, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Hallelujah. Verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteousness one will live by faith. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Verse 39, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you, God, to speak forth the truths in your word today that you would have for us. I pray, God, that it wouldn't be my interpretation, but Holy Spirit, I pray it would be your words that are spoken and that your words would be the only words that take root. I pray that Craig's words would fall to the ground, Lord God, but I pray, Holy Spirit, that your words, God, would bring life and bear fruit in the lives of the hearer. So, Father, use me as your oracle today to preach your word. I pray for your anointing and your unction in the mighty strong name of Jesus, and we all said together, amen. Amen. As I was looking at these scriptures, there was one in particular that I referenced from time to time, and it's verse 39. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, okay? I use that a lot because it's a call for us as Christians to recognize that when I just kind of lay idle, bad things happen, okay? You and I as Christians, we are not called to just sit back or just shrink back. Because when we do that, the Christian life is supposed to be a forward motion, okay? Now, it doesn't mean that forward motion means that we're just like these onward Christian soldiers, you know, we're just going. But we are listening. What it means is this: we're listening to Holy Spirit. We're allowing Him to lead and guide our lives and teach us those times and seasons to move here and move there and be patient at times. And we need to know when to speak and when not to speak and so on and so forth. It's a life that is lived by faith with Jesus. Amen. And really, that's what's taking place. But as I was considering this, and I just those first verses really caught my attention. They captured my heart. And in verses 19 through 22, there's a couple things I just felt like Holy Spirit was wanting to draw out. One of them was this: it says to draw near to God with sincerity and full assurance that faith brings, okay? Draw near to God with sincerity and with full assurance that faith brings, okay? Now, sincerity, all right? One of the ways that we understand sincerity, okay, there's a genuineness, right? Okay, it's like you've heard somebody say, like, you know, when you look at Fred, man, he's the real deal, right? Okay, when you look at Rodney, he's the real deal. When you look at Rick or whoever, you know, these proven people in whatever area of their life, you know, they're the real deal, okay? You've probably heard that describing all kinds of different things, but there's a genuineness, okay? There's not this disingenuous attitude about it. So one of the things that we're being called to by the author here is that we are called to into this place of sincerity with our relationship with God. It doesn't say that we're called into a place of perfection, does it? Okay? It says that we are called into a place of sincerity and to approach God with sincerity. That means that I can approach God flaws and all, okay? I can approach Him with whatever I'm battling, whatever thing I am going through in that moment, and in sincerity, if I'm struggling. Anybody ever just struggle with God? Anybody? I mean, it happens. We question, and it's okay, but with a sincere heart. And sometimes I'm afraid that, you know, there's been circles that we've all run in from time to time. You've probably been around people that put the little mask on, okay? And you know that if you just kind of scratch below the surface, all this stuff starts to come out. I've been praying, and I know that we have been praying as a church, that this could be a house of healing, that this could be a place where people can approach God sincerely, okay? Where we can let our stuff, okay, not to be just paraded around to people, but we can bring our stuff to God in sincerity of heart and know that we have a confidence that God is going to meet us there, okay? That's really the sincere heart. There's also a couple of other things that go along with it. You've heard of the word integrity, right? God bless us, man. We need integrity in our nation, don't we? All right? We live in a time where integrity seems to have just gone out the window. It doesn't matter what source of information you're getting out there. It seems that we have lies being told, lie after lie after lie after lie. And then we're told one thing, and then it's another thing, and then it's another thing. And it just puts confusion upon us in a society. And you can just see how the enemy just kind of sits back and laughs at that. He loves it when you and I are confused. He loves it when you and I don't know what to do. He loves it when we're gripped by fear, you see. But friends, faith is not fear. Doesn't mean that we don't ever experience fear, but by faith, I have assurance in my relationship with Jesus. We need integrity in the body of Christ, and I pray that we have it. I believe that we do. I think most of us in here, if we raised our hands, would say that I want to be a man or a woman of integrity. I want to operate with integrity. But integrity, again, it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. Integrity means that you're not trying to be somebody that you aren't, that you recognize that you're a work in progress. We were just out in the foyer this morning, and I can't remember who said something about it, but
I just said, well, I'm still a working, oh, we were talking about the chains are broken off of us. And I said, well, a lot of my chains are broken and have been broken, but I'm learning how to apply the blood of Jesus to all areas of my life, okay? I'm still a work in progress. Any works in progress in here? I'm going to tell you right now, friends, until we meet Jesus on that glorious day and we're still battling this, you know, this sin nature that we have resident in our bodies, we are still works in progress. God is so good in the midst of all of it. The other thing that comes with sincerity is an idea or an understanding of wholeheartedness, okay? So, here's the thing. If I'm not wholehearted, one of the words you could use to describe the opposite of that or an antonym would be a kind of a casual approach. Okay? This is one thing that I've just had a hard time with from time to time, is just really kind of approaching my relationship with Jesus. Take it or leave it. I can't do that. After I look and I've studied and I see what Jesus did for me and the fact that he put faith on the inside of me, he called me by name, he gave his life for me, he saw me in my junk and my stuff and all the crap that I went through and did in my own life. My goodness, why would I ever want to live casually for God? I want to live for him as hard as I can. And that doesn't mean that I'm just going around and getting in your face all the time. No, I just want to be an example for him. I want to be real. I want to be a man of integrity and a man of sincerity. And I believe that we have a whole room of people that want that in their lives. That is what impacts people for eternity. Because the culture is trying to paint this picture of Christians, okay, as these right-wing activists that go around and, you know, do all this crazy stuff. How about we just be ambassadors of light for Jesus? How about we be people of peace? How about we be people of comfort and joy and love and integrity and sincerity? And we embrace the people that God brings our way and we minister to them. So draw near to God with sincerity of heart, and also draw near to God with full assurance, okay? Now, there's something that brings in sincerity. There's something that brings, when we approach God with sincerity, there's something that brings this full assurance to us. Because assurance is what? You have a steady footing, right? You know that when you step on this, I can imagine any of you come up here, you know that this is solid, okay? You're not going anywhere, all right? It's solid. But I bet if I was, you know, you remember that old, what was that movie with, not the Temple of Doom. You know which one I'm talking about, where he steps out on the thing? Help me out. Crusade, whatever. One of those Indiana Jones things. There's the thing, all right? And one of the things that he couldn't see, all right, he's going across this great chasm, and it's thousands of feet down, and everything's falling. But by faith, he kind of stepped out on that thing. He couldn't see it, and then when he stepped out, it was there. That's kind of the way it is in our journey sometimes. We don't always see, I know that's a crude example, okay? But we don't always see everything that is taking place. We don't see everything. You know, Abraham didn't see that God had prepared a ram on the other side of the mountain that was coming up at the same time that he and Isaac were going up to sacrifice. And sometimes our faith journey is like that. It's a faith journey. There's an assurance. And once you have stepped out, okay, all right, and you've experienced the full assurance of God holding you and getting you through, all of a sudden you come through another situation. It's like, you know what? I have full assurance. Why? Because I have faith in my Savior. When we have faith in the Savior, we have a full assurance. Amen? We have a great high priest. That's just such a good thing. And there's a term here that's used. It says, our great high priest opened a living way. the great high priest, Jesus, the one who fulfilled every bit of the law, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, okay? He was the one who took away the sin of the world. He was the only one that was able to do it. God in the flesh, amen? And he came and he paid the price and he opened a living way for you and me. It wasn't all of a sudden, I have an open way, but I also have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this. No, the blood of Jesus paid it all. I got one. Amen. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus. It's not about your performance anymore. It's not. You can't earn God's love. You can't get enough things right to earn his love like we do with people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for sin. But what I'm saying, the thing that we always miss is that grace covered our sin, but grace empowers us to live above sin. And that's the thing, it's part of our journey, okay? We need to live in grace's empowerment in our lives. And I guarantee you, when we understand that we have a great high priest, we will live with a full assurance. We will come with sincerity of heart. It's those times that I just come to God and just say, man, Lord, my life, I'm yours, but boy, there's still stuff that I'm battling with. My mind at times, God, is just not right. I have impure thoughts. I have this, I have that, whatever it is. I'm greedy, I gossip, whatever. I don't know what your thing is. But you come to God with sincerity of heart and just admit these things to the Lord. That's when grace's empowerment can come in and touch those situations and set you free in Jesus' name. That's the God that you and I serve. I will tell you this, faith brings this about. Faith, the flesh will never bring it about. Understand that. Faith brings this about, not flesh. Flesh, okay, is an enemy of faith. Our flesh is the enemy of faith. Why? Because it's not anchored in Jesus. Paul said it this way, what? I crucify my flesh daily. Why? Because the sin nature is resident in my flesh. Just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're not going to ever have a desire to sin. I didn't get a lot of amens on that. Your sin nature is resident in your flesh. We have a spirit man that now is alive because we have Holy Spirit, right, in Jesus. But do any of you sin? I hope you sin less, but you're not sinless. You understand what I'm saying here? You see, God wants us to understand that our flesh is never going to accomplish anything in the faith realm. And sometimes it's very deceptive. Sometimes we think we're operating in faith, but we're actually operating in flesh. There's a whole message right there that I'm not going to get into, but just understand that flesh is an enemy of faith. My faith is anchored where? In Jesus. And when I don't operate in faith, what happens is I will always default to the law. I will always default to performance. I will always default to my little task list, okay? Friends, I encourage you to get together. I encourage you to read your Bible. I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to get your gold star and perfect attendance in Sunday school or whatever it was that you've had and all that. But those are not anything that's going to earn you points with Jesus. Before man, maybe. But the reality is before Jesus, the playing field is level, okay? We're all in this together. How you doing, Coop?
Pretty good, how are you?
We're all in this together, every one of us. Every one of us. The playing field is level. It's not about certain people. It's not about somebody having some special gifting. It's not about somebody having this or that. The playing field is level. It's about all of us finding and using those gifts and talents that God has put on the inside of you and using them and sowing them into the kingdom of God. Do sometimes we sow them into the wrong kingdom? Absolutely. But when we recognize it, let's turn back and let's sow them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. That'll preach. That'll preach. So here's a question I got for you. Actually, let's look at one more word here. In verse 23. So as a result of our faith in Jesus, okay, we come with sincerity of heart, right? We come as a result of the sincerity of heart and our faith in Jesus. We have a full assurance, okay? Now we are given another admonishment, and it says this in verse 23. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Now that word unswervingly, okay? When you think about somebody who's having a hard time driving, okay? You ever seen somebody swerving on the road? I'm not talking about just the drunk stupor, but that happens too when somebody's in a drunk stupor, all right? And they're just kind of swerving. I was going down that Banner Hill, you know, one time, and this guy was swerving all over the place. He must have just come out of somewhere, or he had a fifth in his hand and was trying to drive at the same time. But he came all the way over in my lane. I literally had to go to the opposite side of the road just to miss him. He was swerving bad, back and forth. And when we're living, okay, swervingly, all right, we're all over the place, okay? Ephesians 4:14 says we're like somebody who's being tossed, you know, on waves, up, down, all around, yo-yo living. That is not, friends, the Christian life that God has desired for us. But unfortunately, I think if we're honest, sometimes we live that yo-yo ride. Now, as you get older in Christ and mature, okay, and you have that full assurance in Christ, your walk seems to steady out a little bit. But we still have bumps in the road, okay? The truth is, though, is that we're being admonished here to hold unswervingly to our faith. It means that we grip the wheel, okay, and we find that spot, which is Christ, and we stay focused on Jesus. Because I will tell you that the minute you get your eye off of the center of the road, what tends to happen? You drift a little bit. And then your wife, if you got like my wife, she'll just be like, bang, you know? And I still got bruises. It's just really, no, I don't. The reality is that you're going out of the lane. And you need to get back. And thank God. I tell you what, I thank God for my wife, because there's been plenty of times she saved me probably from an accident. Some guys, come on now. We got to thank God for them. Yeah, okay, I got a few. All right. All you have to do is find, if you want to find out if you're living an a swerving life, look at the fruit. Look at the fruit in your life. Okay, we know what? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Right? Did I get all nine of them? I think I did. We want that. Do we always have that? Everybody gentle all the time? I am. No. No, God. Yeah, it's true. Look out, Coop. Lightning's coming down. No. No. I don't always have the fruit of the Spirit going on in my life. I want it to, but I'm still dealing with this thing here, okay? Look at the fruit of your life. What rattles you? I want you to think about that. What rattles you? What unnerves you? And then what steadies you? Because I will tell you that when I get my eyes off of Jesus, I get rattled. I get rattled easy. People that I could normally deal with offend me, okay? People that say dumb things sometimes, okay? Or I will then in turn say dumb things in return to that. I won't be the, you know, I'll live more of an eye for an eye rather than turn the other cheek. I heard one pastor tell me one time, you know, I'll turn the other cheek one time and then it's on. I don't know that that's probably the best theology, all right? But the reality is that I will never turn the other cheek if I am operating in the flesh. I will turn the other cheek when I'm operating in faith. And that's what I'm called to do. I'm called to operate in faith. But that's the question I have for you. What shakes you? What rattles you? What brings these things to into your life that are not healthy? Is it rejection? Is it lack of recognition? Is it money? All of a sudden, you have an extra $20 that was taken out of your account. Does that rattle you? Does it rattle you to the point that you are just unnerved? That you treat the cashier badly? Did something go wrong on the account? I don't know. But is it worth getting all up in somebody's face over something like that? What rattles you? Because what rattles you is usually what you're placing your trust in. I want to put my trust in Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, there's still things that rattle me. And whenever I get rattled at something, I realize in that moment, I'm not trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in my possessions or whatever circumstance. Reread that again. It says this. Hang on here. I got to find it. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Okay? He's faithful. This is the part about possessions that I wanted to read here. Yes, right here. Okay, I'm sorry. Verse 34. You suffered along with those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. How many of you would joyfully accept the confiscation of your property? It would be tough, wouldn't it? This is God's word now, okay? You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. If that happened to you and I today, what would we be doing? Get the guns! I don't know. We'd be wanting to fight, okay? We'd be saying, oh, you can't do that. Well, I don't know. It says here, you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, all right? And it says, because you knew, listen to this, you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Friends, they can take all your stuff. You have something far greater than anything this earth can provide you with. We love our comforts, don't we? My gosh, we get sideways when we don't have air conditioning. How dare they take my air conditioning away? We have something far greater, don't we? But we get sideways about stuff like that. We get all up in arms about things that don't go our way or somebody doesn't recognize me. Oh my goodness. You get passed over. You get rejected. Something happens. I don't know. What rattles you? Because those things that rattle you are an indication of things that you're really trusting in. because you're doing fine. You're exhibiting all kinds of joy and love and peace and all this. As long as I got a full bank account, as long as I don't lose my job, as long as my boss doesn't ask me to do something that I don't like to do, as long as, you know, everything is just going smooth sailing, then I'm okay. But the minute that's disrupted, what happens? Boom, out comes the real fruit. Out comes the evidence of what you and I really trust in. And I think if we're honest, there's not many in this room that would say we are completely trusting in all these areas. I know it's getting really quiet in here. Look at the fruit, and you can typically trace it back. And here's what most of us do, because I've been there. We see the branch that we don't like, okay? And we cut the branch, or we prune the branch back. But sometimes you got to go all the way down to the root. Sometimes we got to take the tree down. Sometimes we need to expose the roots and find out what's really behind all this. Why do I have such a hard time with money? Why is it? Now, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but why is it that people have such a hard time with tithing? It's God's way. It's just God's way. But I'm going to tell you what, people, oh, they have a hard time with it. I rarely ever talk about money, because I know God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And he will do that, always. He doesn't need our money. He needs our hearts. And often our hearts are tied to our money. That's why tithing is important. It kills that thing. Man, I could tell you story after story after story how God provided for Kelly and I through the years. We have tithed our entire Christian life. I told you the story about when her dad showed up with the groceries the next day, and he was just sitting in his chair down in New Boston. And all of a sudden, he had an impression that Kelly and I needed some food. And at that time, the previous day, I was sitting there writing out the tithe check, wondering if we were going to have enough money for fuel oil in our tank and enough money for groceries. We didn't have anything in the house. And I didn't believe Kelly was pregnant at the time. And the next day, God taught me a lesson. He showed up with a whole truckload of groceries for us. And I could show you time after time, vehicles that were supplied, you know, just out of nowhere. Things were breaking down. I'd go into tire shops and these guys would just be looking at me, how long have you been driving on this? And I'd say 2 months. They're just like, nah, I don't believe that. Yeah. God kept things going. He met all of our needs. We didn't always have everything that we wanted. Did we make everything perfect, you know, make every perfect financial decision? No. But I will tell you, he always provides our need. He does exceedingly more than we can ever ask or imagine or even think of. That's the God that we serve. How is it that the God that we serve can make 90% go further than 100%? Because he's a supernatural God. But that's just the way the kingdom works. It kills that thing inside of us that trusts in ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, when I relinquished that, now we are in a position that we can bless others. It was so nice this Christmas, okay, to actually just do some extra things for people. And not just family, just unsuspecting people where you could just hear about a need somewhere and then you could just go and bless them with that. And it doesn't mean that we're going to short the church our tithe or anything like that. That's not how it works. But we did it over and above. We wanted to give offerings and blessing and just pour it out because, friends, we're blessed to be a blessing. And if God can trust you with the little, he'll give you more because he knows if you have more, you'll be faithful with the more. You learn to tithe on the first dollar, you'll tithe on the millionth dollar. It's true. It's quiet in here right now. It's real quiet. I'm going to tell you, God is faithful. Faithful, faithful, and that is the faith realm that we're talking about. Okay, now I see why. All right, I'm looking back there. Okay, let's come in for a landing. All right, everybody okay? All right, so what am I trusting in? Look at the fruit. Identify the root and deal with it. Why am I called to serve unswervingly? Because the one we have our faith in. That was the example. He came with a purpose. He came with a mission. He came with the cross in mind. He went from the manger to the cross. And all along the way, he demonstrated the kingdom of God to the people in his world. I pray that that can be who we are. I pray that that can be the type of lives that we live. I pray that we can live lives that aren't just shaken by every little thing that comes our way. Is there going to be those things that kind of rattle the tree a little bit? Yeah, there are. But if you feel like it just controls you, I want to say this. Because I think sometimes, I've been there, you're up in the middle of night because you're worried, sick about things. You know the things I worry about the most are the things that I'm trying to control that I can't control. I worry about those things. You don't think I worry about my dad? Yes, I worry about my dad. But my flesh wants me to stay there. My flesh wants me to not get any sleep. My flesh wants me to be all upset about that. I've come to a place now that I have peace because I'm standing in the full assurance that I have with God. Why? Because I went to him with sincerity. And I said, God, I don't understand this. I'm struggling with this. He's a good man. He's poured out his whole life. Why does this have to happen? I don't know. We live in a troubled world. But God gently came to me because I came to him with sincerity of heart. And he wrapped his arms around me. That's all he's saying to us, church. Come to me and I will give you rest. When you go through loss, when you go through heartache, when you go through change, when things don't go your way or somebody does something you don't like, friends, the enemy wants you to stew and get all offended and up in arms and in angry with God. Just go to God with sincerity of heart and just say, God, this is where I'm at. He's big enough to shoulder your anger, even when you have anger towards him. You don't think he knows? He just wants you to yield your heart to him and just say, God, I'm sorry, I don't understand this, but I need God. I need you to just put a super dose of faith in me. I don't know what it is, God, but I just need faith in this moment. You know how you get faith? You trust him even when you don't see. Let's trust him. He's worthy. He gave everything for you. He gave everything for me. And let's encourage one another. That was, I guess, the last thing I was going to say. Sometimes we're good at even encouraging others. But I want to say this. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves. Let me just read something to you. I wrote a couple weeks ago, because I needed encouragement. And I just started writing down some things. Because if you're like me, I always tend to go to the negative when I look at myself. I tend to look at my faults. I tend to look at all this, you know, whatever. But here's what I did. I just took script. I felt the Holy Spirit say, just take some scriptures out. Now you insert yourself into this. I am more than a conqueror. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. I am a child of God. Let's say that together. I am a child of God. Doesn't that feel good? I'm a child of God. I am a new creation in Christ. Whew. I am able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I could ever even ask or think of. That's how much God loves me. I am empowered by grace. I am filled with the Spirit. I am weak. Yes, I am weak. God, I come to you with sincerity of heart. I'm weak. But the truth is, you are strong. And when I am weak, he is strong. Here's one I love. I am in the grip of his grace. I am known and I am valued. He knows everything about me. Everything, everything. And he still loves me. Whew. I'm valued. I am loved. I am the I ams. Isn't that good? It's good stuff. Sincerity of heart. Anchor your faith in Jesus. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet this morning.